This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Checking the mirrors, getting near completion, but speaking to a nation this weekend. But problems every day, odds and ends when two friends picked up the mic and fixed things. Check the mail and then get these ridiculous issues we need help with. So sit back, relax, and grab a snack. It's
If I Were You.
I didn't know Linkin Park were fans.
It was Linkin Park.
Is that what it is?
I think that was like, I thought it was Beastie Boys at first, but then, yeah, and once the chorus kicked in, I realized.
It's Chester.
Uh-huh. Oh, is that his name? Is that the guy with the fire tattoos? Oh, yeah. God.
That guy's name is David. I'm trying to find any more information about him, but now that
he's ungoogleable.
Yeah, he's lost forever. So thanks, David, for that really epic theme song submission. Raul.
Hello, sir.
Raul Coley. That's just how I pronounce your name. I don't know.
It's perfect. It's right on.
You didn't.
Anyone would think
before.
You were told how to do it.
Thank you for joining us. This is a first for us in many ways.
Yes.
First British guest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right? Well, Rose kind of counts, right? Because it all sounds the same.
As, yeah.
As yeah. Accent wise, first, you're not the first guest with a silly accent.
Yeah.
True.
You're the second guest that sounds stupid.
Well, British people just automatically sound smart.
Oh, yeah. We're the ones that sound stupid.
Oh, I'm going to smash that stereotype tonight.
No, it's too late. You already proved
You already
right.
said smash that stereotype. Yeah. And even that sounded kind of smart.
Oh,
at the very least, charming.
Yeah. I think it's all James Bond related. Like, if James Bond was Southern, we'd all be like, oh, wow, that's a really hot, sexy Southern accent you have, yeah. Cowboy.
I had sort of like an old College Humor video idea where James Bond isn't really good at Daniel Craig not knowing how to use his iPhone.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just something that, because you never really see James Bond with a smartphone, really. Right.
Right?
He seems like he would have an Android.
Well, he would have like some sort of state-of-the-art, something like embedded into his wrist
right,
or something
right.
like
but
that.
If he like uses the stylus wrong, his hand blows up.
Yeah.
Well, he only uses whatever piece of crap Sony have just released, right?
Because it's, obviously the, product
it's the product placement. Yeah. So he's always using some nonsense that no one but him really uses.
Yeah, and it's like an insert shot, somebody else's hand, clearly. They have to like add it in the day before it comes out because that's how like close to the cutoff it needs to be.
Yeah.
The Galaxy S5 whatever. Do you have a Samsung? Sorry, I shouldn't be.
Oh, no, I kind of float between my iPhone and my Samsung.
Good man.
I don't like being bullied by either side, so I thought I'd just give in to both.
Really?
Yeah.
I let Apple win a long time ago.
Oh, did you?
They have completed the takeover.
How bad does an iPhone have to be for you not to use it at this point?
I don't know. I hated buying the iPhone 6. I didn't want it. I couldn't stop myself from buying it. Yeah. I was like, it's too big. And even as I'm holding it, I'm like, I can't use it with one hand anymore. I'll
Wait, did
drop
you get the
it.
Giant version?
No, I got the smallest one possible. That was also the new one. Because
yeah.
I should have just stayed with the 5. I liked that one.
And now you should get the new one, which is the small body. This is such a waste of time.
It feels like an iPhone product placement. What talk about with the podcast is?
Well, first, Raul, we met you through Rose.
Yes.
You work on iZombie with her. Mm-hmm.
And I came to Vancouver and saw you guys perform live. She
that's
organized
right.
a trip for us, and we all came down and shit ourselves and giggled. And then I was like, I want to be on their show.
Which is great. We were going to have Rose on today, and they were like, oh, why don't we just have Raul on
why
instead?
Why don't you have the lead of the show?
The emotional lead.
Rose is, I see her. She's outside the window. She's knocking. She's motioning that the door is locked.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I double locked it. Don't worry. Good. She can't get in. Right. She's gnawing on the knob, actually. She's trying to get in like a gopher.
She's burrowing through the floor.
Oh, God. She's so strong.
And so she's in here. Fuck.
She's biting me. What do you know about Rose that we don't?
Oh. Well, did you do the marathon?
Oh. No.
That's a good thing. Anything you want to know about Rose is how the marathon was approached, how we were all roped into it, how excited she was to do a marathon a week after we wrapped, and how none of us showed up.
Is she the only one that did it?
Yeah. And she killed, and in Rose style, she killed it. She did great.
She did it. She actually ran it.
She committed to it. I was the only one who was like, no, from day one. Like, I put up pictures of like people eating donuts, like, yeah, training's going well, because I wasn't going to do it.
Right.
And, but everyone else, the American guys were really sweet and like, oh my God, yeah, you know, I'll be there, that kind of thing.
And who bailed the latest? Who was like the person?
Oh, it was a mass one. So I bailed first and then just, I don't think anyone showed. Yeah. And that's Amir included, by the way.
Yeah, I said I would maybe do the half with her. Didn't do it.
Didn't do that.
But she ran the whole Oakland Marathon.
Yeah,
yeah.
And she had all these ice packs strapped to her legs, and
or so we think.
Damn.
Oh, because nobody was there. Actually,
no one was there. That's true.
Yeah.
Actually, the Oakland Marathon is until July.
I'm just looking it up right now.
There was no marathon in Oakland.
Yeah.
Holy shit! She staged.
And I can see the medal she's wearing is like a
chocolate.
It's
gelt.
It's Hanukkah gelt. I can see it's melting onto her shirt. So, Rule, as you know, this is an advice podcast. We do our best to answer some emails. People are in sticky situations. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes we're here with a friend. Fortunately, you're here to grace us with your wisdom today.
We're the modern day Ricky Lakes.
Yeah. That's actually, we should say that in our iTunes description.
Modern day Ricky Lake.
I think Ricky Lake is still on. Is that possible?
Is it?
Is that even a device? I thought that was just a talk show.
She also
or
was
chat show as
Ricky
call
Lake
it.
Was
chat
so show. Young. Do you guys remember how old do you think Ricky Lake was when she had her talk show?
I remember,
I'd say late 20s.
Yeah, I remember playing
she was
the
14.
Oh my God! Yeah. You want to feel old? Zach Morris is 90 today. I remember playing the 58 game, trying to guess which celebrity is 58. Okay. And Ricky Lake was the worst guess. I don't know if I came up with it or somebody else did, but they were 21 years off. She's like 37.
Today she's 37?
No, like when we were playing it 2 years ago.
All right, let's see how old Ricky Lake is. Sorry, I'm going to look it up while you talk about the podcast.
all right, so I mean, I already...
Oh my God! Everyone interrupt.
I'm going to guess
my
40.
God.
You're already interrupting with like your phone signal noise.
Sorry about that. Here we go.
Okay. Look at that iPhone 6.
Yeah, enormous.
Age guess for Ricky Lake?
I'm going to say, I'm a borderline know she's 40.
Okay, guess?
I'd say 47, 48.
I'm going to guess 47 as well because I'm looking at it and it is 47.
Boom. Wow.
Cool.
I'll guess
it.
A star sign as well. Why not? Libra.
I can tell you when her birthday is. Will you know?
Yeah.
September 21st.
Oh my God, that was close.
Is
She's
it?
A Virgo. I was like a few days off. That's crazy.
So excited that you were wrong.
I was still wrong.
All right, so let's we need some fake names to preserve these poor people's anonymity. Do you have a guy's name for us?
Oh, Deepak.
Deepak?
I always shoot for Deepak when I panic. It's the name of a relative I have that I really dislike.
Oh.
And I'm calling him out on this podcast.
I love that.
Deepak.
Why do you dislike him?
He's just a prick to me. He's always been a prick to me. And it winds us up. And even when I'm like, I was never working for years. And even when I got iZombie, he was still a prick.
Really?
He still found a way to cut me down after a headshot or something he saw.
Classic
Fuck
Deepak.
You, Deepak.
Well, hopefully, I mean, most of the people that write in are pretty terrible humans. So let's see.
This guy doesn't seem too terrible, but Deepak writes, a girl who I just started seeing told me that she feels uncomfortable that I keep treating her instead of going Dutch. This blew my mind. I felt bad letting her pay afterwards. I always assumed that going Dutch was for chumps after the relationships become more committed. Am I just too old-fashioned? When is it okay to go Dutch, and when should I treat a date? A concerned Padawan. Love, Deepak. Do you know going Dutch? Is that an American thing or is that
no,
universal?
No, that's paying halfway, right?
Yeah, that's
going
right.
Dutch, who are the Dutch?
Yeah.
I thought it used to be wearing two condoms for some reason. I think that's... Is that double Dutch? No, but that's skipping. I get confused with those
terms. Yeah, wearing two condoms... We used to just call it double backing. Or you can call it...
What's the point of wearing two condoms?
Swedish.
Is that like a...
The Swedish are very careful people.
Is that to last long or is it for more protection?
More protection, I'd imagine.
Got it.
Actually...
I don't think you'll last long. I mean, that's... You just won't... I'm
you just
be surprised
nothing.
If you finish
people
at all.
People used to say, like, oh, you got to double bag it if you're going with somebody who, like, sleeps around a lot. But actually, going double bagging, it creates friction between the two condoms and they're more likely to tear. So nobody should put two condoms.
Yeah, that's why we suggest the triple bag method. So top two tear, obviously, and then you're left with what the correct amount,
which is
one. I've
always advocated five condoms and...
No, five is the ideal, obviously. Yeah. Five is number one. Best way to go is five.
Five and a vasectomy.
Yes. Also abstinence.
Oh, sure.
So you'll remove your dick, put it in five condoms.
If you will be a eunuch,
yes.
So that's
dickless.
No testicles.
No testicles.
Is
one
being a
dick.
Eunuch, no testicles or no? I'm turning to a rule like he's the authority.
Well,
like he's a eunuch.
Oxford Dictionary.
Sorry,
I thought it's no balls.
Yeah, eunuchs no balls. They have the dick. Castration is that
no? I think that's no balls too, isn't it?
No. All right. So what is it when you don't have a dick? Because that's what I've got.
A woman.
Yeah.
I've got balls, no dick.
I've got four balls, two dicks, six condoms.
But none of them are in the place that you would think.
Yeah, they're around your thumb. I see that.
Oh, yeah.
That way you can finger someone
like
without
a really
getting them pregnant.
Ring that I have to wear all the time.
So going Dutch on a date. The theory is that, like, old-fashioned people, like, you should pay for the whole thing. And then, like, there's this new type of fashion, which is, like, you know, everything should be split because it's, like, men and women are equal. Like, let's split this bill in an egalitarian way.
Right.
So what do? Do you err on the side of paying for the whole thing? Do you split? Do you go Dutch?
Well, when I take a buddy out, let's take relationships out of it. When I take a buddy out or we go out for a work dinner or something, someone's always trying to pick up the whole check usually.
Right.
And that's without trying to, I'm not trying to sleep with my co-stars.
Yet.
Just because I, season two, season three. But like,
spoiler.
It's just courtesy, right? I was always brought up like someone's trying to pick up the check and there's a big fight about who does it.
Right.
You end up splitting it anyway. And I think dates can kind of be like that. If I've asked someone out or I'm going out on a date, I will try and pick up the check, but I'm also hoping for a fight about it.
Yeah.
If you just let me do it, then next time I'll if there is a next time.
Right.
I'm doing it to have a little, like, I want you to go, no, please, no, and pretend you're reaching for your handbag or whatever.
At least do that.
Yeah. And then, but then I think Dutch, after a while, once you've gone out a lot, then I think it's fair to Dutch. The fact that you shouldn't be, you're literally feeding someone constantly. I think after a while you should be.
Right. It's kind of crazy to be on like year five of your relationship and you're just still paying for every meal. And
still
drink.
Waiting for the fight. But
in my experience, I've always like offered to treat for the first dinner. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always best, exactly what you're saying, like a little protest. Mm-hmm. You say, no, I want to get it. I got it. And if they protest again, then it's like, all right, hey, I'll back off. Like, and then, but if they don't, if they say thank you, then that's the correct thing to do. Always one act of protest.
Yeah.
And the person either acquiesces or like stands their ground.
This is like that rule, which I don't like. Do you guys do this? Like the you can't eat unless everyone has their food rule. You get food. I haven't gotten it yet. You can't eat it. And then I have to say you can eat it. And then you have to say, no, I'll wait. Or you say, I'll eat it anyway.
The correct way to do that one is as soon as my food comes, you say to me, please eat.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the right thing to do because the food's hot. It's ready. It's you.
And then
do
you eat is the courteous thing
always.
To eat?
You always. I think it's weird to be like, no way.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
I would finish. That's the thing. Like,
that's
if there's enough time, will you finish and lick the plate?
Well, that's on the restaurant at that point. But yeah, I'll finish, send the plate back for seconds.
Pay for the meal.
My compliments to the chef. I'll order dessert sometimes.
Before they get their food.
I think I usually will start eating, but I'll take it a little easy. Pick at a fry, have a bite of the burger.
There's a lot
offer
of bullshit.
Some of the food.
There's a lot of bullshit theater you have to do at restaurants. I mean,
right.
The wine. We had this recently with the wine tasting. Like, I don't fucking know what wine I want.
Oh, and they give
and then
you
they
a
come
sample?
Over and he makes a massive deal about it. I sit there. I have to act like when I'm on a date. I know that
like
this,
you're a sommelier.
Oh, this is a good year. This red one, whatever it is. Yeah, actually, more please.
I heard something too. I think Gary Vaynerchuk, the wine guy, told us that like by the time you've chosen the wine and they come and they pour it for you, you're not tasting it to say like, yes, I like it. The only reason they pour a little bit is you're supposed to smell it and make sure the grapes haven't gone bad. Like if the wine is actually spoiled, then they
I still don't think I'd know.
But you've already made the decision.
I saw somebody pour ketchup into a wine glass and you sipped it and you're like, this is
you
great.
You spun it around.
It was A1 steak sauce.
They don't do it with anything else. You don't do that with the Coke to make sure it's flat. You don't do that with like, you know what I mean? So I always find it just this big bullshit thing where we have to buy into this performance that, we all know what we're doing.
It's all this really weird dance. And I think that's like the goal of all of it is to just make sure that people aren't stumbling too much.
Yeah.
So like, you offer to pay and somebody says no. You say, no, I got it. And then, like, it's over. But if you offer to pay and someone says, no, I really want to pay. I'm like, no, I got it. Like, no, I'd really like to pay.
Yeah.
You can't, again, be like, no, and I would love to treat you.
Yeah,
well, I don't allow that. Then it's like, then the dance gets fucked up.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like a little bit of
gentle foreplay, restaurant foreplay.
Exactly. And but I think they're... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you. No, please.
I don't want to...
God forbid I speak.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, you listen to the show. It's a fucking steamroller over here.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I had to say that I had to go to the bathroom. What were you actually about to say?
I honestly forget.
Okay, great. I don't like rules like the food thing that end up in... Like, it's you're being polite, I'm being polite, and then we end up in the same place where we started. Mm-hmm. So, like, I get the food... You have to say, you can eat. I have to say, no, I don't want to. You have to say, you can eat, and then I eat. I'm just going to, let's skip those steps. I'm just going to start eating in front of you.
If the food comes and you don't even like acknowledge that I haven't gotten my food and you start chowing down, I'm like, I'm going to tell you to eat, you know?
Right, but why do I have to fucking wait for the green light? Let me just drive.
Well, because... You have to wait for the green light on the road. You have to wait for a green light.
But right now it's an intersection.
I think it's on me. It's rude if I don't say you can eat and then you can eat and then like, you know, hey, fuck me. But it's on the person who doesn't have the food to immediately say you eat.
It's all about acknowledgement. All of these dining rules and date, they're all acknowledgement, right? Like
it's true.
It's paying for it, but you're going to pay, but they're acknowledging that you're paying rather than just sitting there looking in like how, you know. And the same goes
acknowledgement
with the food.
Is 100% correct.
That's all it is.
So this is what I do. I
dine and dash every day that I've ever been on.
I will never go on a date because I don't want to deal with this thing. No, what I do is I'll be like, oh, let me get dinner. You can get whatever, like the next thing.
Two condoms.
Yeah, you can get two condoms. I get the dinner and then I get to wear two condoms later. Or like I get the dinner and then we'll go get frozen yogurt. You can buy that.
Or a drink afterwards.
Yeah, and that feels like an extra, like it doesn't feel tangible to me if somebody pays for half a meal because that's just electronic money going up or down. But if I can get a free frozen yogurt out of this meal that I'm giving someone, that feels like more of a win.
Frozen yogurt was the price of dinner.
Right, but like it feels like a little treat that I got for paying for the dinner.
They call that going Jew.
I'm going Jew with her. And then if we don't go out for frozen yogurt, I say, just send me a gift in the mail. So here's my address. Or like,
book an Uber on their account.
Yeah. I'll call the car.
That is an interesting theory because it also prolongs the date. It's sort of like, that's like a little bit of a game, you know? Oh, let me get dinner and we'll go get ice cream.
That's funny. She's like, I don't want ice cream.
No, I want to go home immediately.
Split a cheesecake. I don't want to now go get ice cream with
but
you.
Has the dating kind of game changed? Like, I mean, I don't remember just going for dinner. Like, do you know what I mean? It always starts either a bar for, or you go bar later.
Dinner is on a date is like, that's... Going to dinner with somebody is like, I better be in love with that person. That's year two.
You've spoken about how you hate dinner dates.
Really?
They're awful. I am a shame eater. So like, I don't want people to see what I eat. It's just like pouring ketchup over everything, shoveling food into my mouth.
That's when you look the worst.
Yeah. Eating's not sexy for me. I don't look... I'm not a sexy eater.
Especially for bearded gents like us.
Oh, God.
There's always shit in there.
But you cannot eat a sandwich on a date if you have a beard.
No.
It's just... It's all in the mustache.
You've showed up like at 6:30 p.m. on like a dinner date and be like, oh, I've already had a huge lunch. I can't eat right
Anytime
now.
Anybody's ever asked me to order food, I say I'm not.
Even if you're starving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you'll run to the bathroom and take a gas station sandwich out of your pocket and shovel it in your mouth.
It was like just before we were leaving New York and I had a date and I didn't have time to eat, so I just went into that pizza place and I got two croissants.
You shoveled them into your mouth.
I ate one immediately, then I put one in my pocket to like eat quietly on the date, like in the bathroom.
Yeah, and then when you go to pay, you take out your wallet and there's a little croissant in there, like, oh, don't mind if I chew.
I barter with croissants.
So what do you suggest? When is it okay to go Dutch? When should I treat a date? Do you say always just offer to treat?
I I'd say, so let's say if there were five dates, if he goes on five, I'd say pay for the first one or two. If she puts up a fight immediately, then yeah, you can, the next one, if you know she's going to do that, then by two, three, four, you could say, well, why don't we split it? That's right. The compromise. Rather than you pay, the compromise can be, well, right, let's split it.
I guess the hope is that she's always saying like, oh, let's split it. And you say no the first few times. And then maybe like date three or four, you're like, sure.
Because I hate Deepak, though, I'm hoping she just sits there dead silent every time the check comes, just looking at
him. Do you want to split it? Him.
No. No, I wanted a free meal, actually.
Doesn't it also depend, like, how much money they have? Like, don't you always, like, have to see a W-2 or a 1099?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
That way you can get their tax record. If they're, like, actually poverty-stricken, you can be like, it's probably my obligation to pay for this.
I'm more of a fan of, like, you get the next one rather than splitting.
Yeah.
So, like, and then if they remember, they say like, oh, you got last dinner. You said I could get this one. Then I'm like, okay. I think there's something gentlemanly about not putting up too much of a fight. Like, you look like a wiener if you're like, no, I really would like to pay. So you say, no, you get the next dinner. Then she does. And you say, come on, let's at least split it. And then she says, no. Or yes. If she does, then you write her off forever.
It really is a cat and mouse.
You should go to those places. This was always one we used to do when we were younger. You go to places where you pay for the food up front. Mm. So you stand at the till. So it's a line.
Right.
And you end up, so if you're on a date, you go single file. You've boxed her out.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
order you and you collect your receipt and then you just stand by her side. And now she's forced to pay for her side of the meal. You've gone Dutch. She didn't even know.
Game over. You win that
one
round.
One option is to offer to pay. The other one is to full on box her out. But she's out there trying to get in so she can get in on the free
on the
meal.
Order. Yeah. And you just, no.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she doesn't even eat.
Denied. She got stuffed in more ways than one.
Nice dude.
I meant stuffed by food, not by your dick.
Gotcha. Nice dude.
You never know.
All right. Let's get to another question. This one is written by a female, if you can imagine.
Wow.
Is your phone on airplane mode, by the way?
You know what? I turned it off when I looked up Ricky Lake, and I didn't turn it back. You guys wanted to check out Maury Povich's age?
Oh, it's definitely in the 70s at this point, really? Right? Maury Povich?
Maury Povich age. I'm going to look it up. Do you have a guess for Maury Povich?
Oh, 68.
I'm 68? Going over 71.
I was going to say 72.
Oh, God, I went too low. I lowballed. Okay, he's a Capricorn. I panicked.
Well, first of all, you guys know he's dead.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's actually not true.
He's 77 and he's alive.
Wow, that's nice.
He's also, he is definitely, he's a Libra.
What's a Libra?
January 17th.
Is that really?
No, it's not. What's a Libra?
What is he?
Sorry, January 17th.
He's a Capricorn.
That's Capricorn.
Oh yeah, I should have known that.
Dude, I just fucking guessed his star sign.
Oh, you did guess Capricorn.
That's amazing. And you were really close on the last one too.
Jeez.
He was born in 1939.
Jesus.
That's kind of crazy.
He was born in during a concentration camp.
Oh, come on.
What? He was a ghetto baby.
You guys want to guess Jerry Springer's age?
Nah, I think we should just go back
transition.
To the show. Yeah, yeah.
For the next transition.
Between every question.
Do you have a female's name?
No.
Great. I know, right? No one's ever taken a knee before. I love it.
No, this name suggestion was no.
Oh, got it. How do you spell that?
N-E-U-X. That'll do.
Yeah. She's French.
No. Yo, right. This is my third freaking email, and this time I really need your help. A little backstory. I have a really hard time not banging guys immediately after I meet them. Honestly, even if they're not my type, as long as they're hot, I'll just do it for fun. Heh. This hasn't always worked out for me, and despite being taught lesson after lesson to not fuck every guy who's attractive, I keep seizing my cheese. So here's the story. I hung out with this guy from work a couple weeks ago. Night one, we went out for $4 PBR pitchers and went back to my apartment to smoke weed. Obviously a great time, funny guy, whatever. Night two, he came over to smoke and things got a little triple X rated. Now I told him that on the first night that I was seeing two other guys, and since then I've become kind of serious with one of them. I don't really want to mess things up with my current guy as he's really nice and I do genuinely like him, but I really like this work friend as a friend. We have a lot of fun together, lots of laughs, etc. So here's my question. Is it possible to stay friends with someone after you've banged? Is there any going back from the choice and moving towards just being friends? He has tried to hang out a couple times since, but I was actually busy both times, and since then has pretty much stopped hitting me up. I'm chatting with him right now, trying to rekindle this friendship, but I don't want to be mean and lead him on, thinking that I want to keep fucking when I'm actually seeing somebody else. Thank you in advance. Love the show. P.S. Jake, I think we're soulmates. Let me know if you ever want a party, if you all come to Atlanta for a live show. Okay. Lots of love. I'm Jewish, so happy Passover, because that's coming up. Love, Neo.
No.
Yeah. So oftentimes we get questions that like, oh, we should save that for a female guest because it's like a female related question. This girl's asking a dude question.
A dude advice.
So we're dudes.
By the way, every guy is like this girl.
Which is what?
Just wants to fuck everyone and then yeah, be friends it's with them. And like, I only want to fuck, like, I want to fuck everyone who's attractive.
It's cool to have a girl.
I can't stop doing that.
Yeah. It's fun to have a female say that.
Yeah. We have a lot in common. Maybe we are soulmates.
How about that specific question? Is it possible to stay friends with someone after you've banged? Have you ever banged and then become friends?
The problem isn't that she's like, it might be possible for her, but it's not necessarily possible for him. Like if he went on two dates with her and they fucked and he's trying to hang out with her more, he's not trying to be her friend right now. He wants to date her.
Yeah.
So I don't think that she can like seamlessly make this transition without at least talking to him about it, and he might not feel like being your friend. The end.
I agree. It has to be. I think it is possible to be friends after sex, but it has to be completely mutually
right.
Like you both have to be like, yeah, we're not doing that again.
Right.
But let's hang out.
Has that ever happened though?
I think so.
Like a one night stand.
9 times out of 10, when someone slept, like usually if it's not a terribly uncomfortable situation. I always find that usually one person's kind of like, I don't want to go there, but I kind of liked you enough to hang out anyway. It's you. It's only the kind of, I guess what makes it difficult is when it's never really both parties feel that way. But I think it's possible to be friends with someone after you banged. I think it might be even easier for some people.
I've had sex with almost all of my friends.
Yeah, but they were friends first. Can you imagine befriending someone that you've only had sex with?
Well, they were work buddies. Then they fucked. Sorry, what's your question? Can I imagine being friends with somebody I've...
Let's say you slept with somebody on the first or second time that you've ever seen them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I don't want to sleep with you anymore, but we should just be friends.
Well, isn't this a scenario where I'm saying that to them?
No, let's say you're the guy and she's the girl. So okay. A girl's saying that to you. I liked sleeping with you, but now I just want to be friends with you.
I guess I would probably be like, well, I have a lot of friends. So we're good.
I mean, it just for the sex part, actually. That's the one. That's the thing that I like.
Yeah.
Not so much the hanging out before and after.
The problem here is that it's always going to, especially unfortunately with dudes, it's going to take a huge ego hit. Because everyone thinks that they've got that dope dick.
Yeah.
I listen to Rab, I'm getting, that's what it is, right? And that everyone's turned out after they've had sex with them. So when someone's like, oh, no, well, let's go see Jungle Book together.
Yeah,
you're only going to be like, I didn't do my job properly.
It's true. Especially if you like, if the date before you had sex and they're like, all right, actually, I definitely know I like this other guy more. Like,
yeah. Huh. But right. I'm still down to like, go see a movie with you or a play. Yeah, who would you want
to
do that?
And then do you go Dutch?
Yeah.
Going back to that. And you sex, and now she would be your friend. Do you go back to going Dutch?
No, definitely not.
Now she pays.
She owes me cash for what she's done to me. This 180. Yeah, that's true. It is a huge ego hit.
Mm. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. I think it's possible to be friends with somebody after you've had sex, but I don't know how soon after. And also, I don't know if it sounds like she's the kind of person that needs a lot of male friends, especially if she like is trying to give this relationship a shot.
Right.
To like want to keep on hanging out with somebody that she had sex with.
I don't have any female friends. Like that doesn't happen anymore. Like a girl doesn't chat me up. I'm already starting to talk like you. A girl doesn't chat me up and then we just hang out and now we're friends. And no, there's no romantic interest anymore.
Most friends that I had with female were people who didn't fancy me back. Right. But
that's how you make girlfriends. It's like you have a crush on somebody who doesn't like you. And
yeah.
Like, all right.
I had a solution for her, and I think because of the ego and stuff, I think she has to just keep sleeping with him as friends. So but then she can keep taking it back a little bit.
Oh.
So at first it was full on, full frontal,
triple
penetration,
X.
Yeah. Everything. Scale it back until the point where it's just a hand job.
It's a total fadeaway.
Yeah.
That's really
And then they're friends, no more sex. He's already might be wanting someone else. Oh, they can hang out. So she still has to like just grin and bear it and do another 6 or 7 sessions.
Yeah. Like you don't cut him off, you fade out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the crossfade. And then hopefully it starts
so
a transition to a new
guy
scene.
When he's just getting to second base.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
We hung out, but I think I just felt her up, which is kind of interesting.
Over the bra, too.
Jesus.
And last week, she let me unhook the bra. I don't get it.
It was awesome.
But I think that might result in him liking you a lot. Because
you're technically drawing...
Oh, dude, I would be so fucking confused and enamored by that.
I can't do this. I can't do it. Like, I can't sleep with you. It's like, but we already have.
Yeah, what a mystery.
But why? You want to... she also sent her phone number in case we ever do a live show in Atlanta.
Oh, tight.
Because she says that you guys are soulmates.
Yeah. It's funny that she's like, I want to give this other relationship a chance. Also, Jake, text me if you come to Atlanta.
I want to give it a chance.
She just want to be my friend?
Yeah, I think she just wants to hang out with you.
Ah, good. That makes sense.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more questions after these messages.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
Bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, Bark
yeah,
Box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes.
Congrats.
And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah. Thanks, BetterHelp.
Jake, I don't know if you know this, but we sort of all carry around different stressors, mm-hmm. big and small.
Yeah. No, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I've heard some people do that.
And if you're anything like me, you just sort of keep it bottled up inside and never mm-hmm. complain or talk about
yes.
it to anyone ever.
Buried deep, deep, deep down.
Yes. You put on a facade, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a masquerade.
Mm-hmm. But when we do that, it starts to affect us negatively. It's not healthy. It's not good. That's why I use therapy, which is a safe space to get things off your chest. And there's no better way to use therapy than with BetterHelp.
Ah, very nice.
So if you've been hearing a lot about therapy and you've been wanting to give it a try, but you don't want to, you know, go through the hassle of finding a therapist, driving their awkward waiting rooms, give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suitable to your schedule.
Perfect.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire,
mm-hmm.
you get matched with a licensed therapist,
mm-hmm.
and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Ooh, love it.
It helps to get things off your chest. It helps to talk about it.
Right.
So get those things off your chest with BetterHelp. That's betterhelp.com/segments. You go there and you get 10% off your first month.
Ooh, all right. Segments, folks.
Yes. BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
To get matched with your therapist as soon as possible. And if you use that coupon code by going to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll get 10% off your first month.
Nice.
Give it a try. It'll help.
Yeah.
With BetterHelp. Woo!
And we're back. A
couple interesting facts about Jerry Springer, starting with his age.
I'm going to say 83.
Whoa. What do you say?
Oh, he's been around for years.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him Maury's age because I was wrong.
77.
So 77, 78. Okay. And I will guess Libra for this one.
Really?
No, Leo. Why not? We'll switch it up.
Leo. I'll tell you, he was born in February 13th, so he's not a Leo.
Okay.
What does that make him?
Aquarius.
another interesting fact, he was born in the United Kingdom.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't he the mayor of Cincinnati?
Yeah.
You can.
He was.
I could be a mayor.
Of fucking Cincinnati.
You're allowed to be the mayor, yeah. You just can't be the president. But even then, there's like some kind of...
And what's his age?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Holy shit. What a fucking cliffhanger.
He's 72.
Oh, he's younger.
Younger than Maury.
Yeah.
Dang.
Montel is young as well. He's 69. We're not going to play the game anymore.
Follows me on Twitter for some...
Montel Williams? Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was random.
Hey, don't sell yourself short, man. I'm sure it's not random.
He's a big fan, whatever. Yeah.
Let him know you can guess his sign.
Montel.
Yeah.
If he follows me, he's a Cancer.
Isn't there a new sign? They're like, they just made a new one.
Is there a new one?
Isn't there?
No.
I thought they like made a new sign recently. It was like, actually, there's no more Capricorn. They split it up into two. Am I making that up?
I thought that like there was something where I thought I wasn't a Leo anymore.
Yeah. You would know more than us.
Apparently.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm this like astrologist.
I mean, the fact that you can hear a month and know what the sign is makes you like, I think you're a fortune teller now.
Well, you know what? I didn't have sex until I was 20. It was a long period of just reading and studying.
Yeah, horoscopes.
And horoscopes. And looking at my crush and looking for which book said we were compatible.
Oh. I mean, I remember I used to read the horoscopes in my sister's like Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
I used to do that. But I was fucking the entire time.
You got to believe
crush
that.
Crush it, puss.
Tell me a little bit about iZombie. It's currently in its second season.
We just had our finale about a week or two ago.
Oh, so the second season's already fully aired.
All done.
And you guys have recently gotten greenlit for a third season.
Yeah, so we were picked up for a third season while still filming our second.
Oh, man, that's exciting.
So we felt like The Walking Dead or something, you know what I mean?
That's
like
so
we
great.
Were showing off, we bought loads of unnecessary stuff. I've got a parrot and a Lamborghini.
You have a parrot.
And shit.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, why not, man?
A parrot and a Lamborghini.
I got my grill done, ice in my teeth.
I feel like two of those things are so expensive, and then the parrot is just, yeah. I mean, how much could that
that's
be?
That's just flamboyant for the sake of
that's,
and I
that's
fucking
pirate
hate
chic.
Pets and animals yeah. anyway.
And it is loud.
The parrot sits shotgun in the Lambo, also has a grill.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're back in the summer to shoot season three. Shoot in Vancouver.
Rose McIver.
No, McGowan's going to be taking over.
That's amazing.
Whoa.
What an upgrade.
Are you
Holy
serious?
Shit.
McGowan?
There is a weird coincidence. I don't know if this is something no one knows. I think her wig, one of them didn't fit because someone made a mistake and it's fit for Rose McGowan's head.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why she was constantly playing. It was too tight. Does Rose have a bigger head than Rose? I don't know, but there
they
was
must,
a size.
We have to know who has the bigger head. How long? Wait, is this like your biggest thing that you've done?
Or it's my only thing.
This is it?
Yeah.
So this, how long were you hustling before?
10 years.
10 years.
10 years. Yeah.
Man, like, were you coming close to a point of being like,
oh, I was joking.
This, I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't want to act anymore.
Oh, definitely.
Deepak is just telling you.
Yeah, Deepak was loving it. Fucking prick. No, so like, I went to drama school at 18. I think I got out at 20, 21 or something like that. And then iZombie didn't happen until 28. So for those years, I mean, I was just doing, I did all right in the commercial world. Like I did add like commercials for stuff.
Right? In England.
Yeah, beers and things like that. But no one would give me a speaking role.
Because of your funny,
funny
talking
accent.
Way.
Yeah. And like I was also because I was too big. I was 6'4" at 14. So when I was
Holy
in my
shit.
Early 20s.
And you're 8'3" now.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I'm still going.
It's a giant,
this is so cool. Rolo's swallowing the microphone like a little Tylenol pill.
We're all sitting on top of Rolo because he takes up the entire room.
He's like Clifford, the big red dog.
We're on each of his knees.
He's growing right now. Oh, you're
yeah,
still growing.
He's busting through the window.
But yeah, so like even as a kid, I couldn't play my age.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
For years. So I think once I got older, everything kind of worked out.
I've heard recently that like it's a lot harder for like to get a role as a man 21 through 27. Like people just don't really get cast.
Yeah, it's a much later thing for male actors. Like John Hamm didn't. Like, I think Mad Men happened in his mid-30s.
Oh, right.
Ford for Han Solo happened in his mid-30s.
It's pretty crazy that you have to like endure so many years of reject. Like, did you come close to a lot of things too?
Oh yeah, I was always like there was jobs where I was down to the last two and all of that nonsense.
Didn't you also say you got this role on tape? You didn't even audition? You just sent one tape and they're like, "All right, you're in."
Something like that, yeah.
That's
crazy. I was put on tape. They couldn't find who they wanted in America. They checked Canada. And then they opened it up to the UK. So people from the UK were sending tapes over off a tape, they cast me. They were desperate as fuck. It's amazing to do that.
So like that, did you even ever go in front of the producers or
no,
the director?
No, never. No screening, no network. Never
so they just
anyone.
Like said yes off the tape. You're on a plane and then you're on set. Yeah. And they're like, I hope this fucking...
Yeah, and they were really scared. They were really scared because everything had worked and they met all the cast and they clicked and there was this anomaly, this English actor coming over who's just going to be a prick.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize I was 6'4".
Oh, man.
Until the day before we started filming and I met the producers and they were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you're
and
like Rose a foot
is, taller you know, Rose is tiny and like actors in general aren't big. So there was a lot. Everyone had to have heels and they had to shoot it like Lord of the Rings. So people were close to the camera.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always in the background yelling
always.
At people. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It looks like you're standing on a table.
I have to
you're
use
so
bigger
small.
Mugs. Yeah. Sit on massive chairs.
It's all a perspective game.
You're Gandalf.
Cool. Should we try to answer a few more questions?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Can you talk like an American? Can you do that? Is that part of your acting wheelhouse?
That was the best.
That was
pretty good. Because on the show, you have that
definitely.
Accent.
You have an English accent on the show.
Yeah, yeah. I
so you don't have to do that. You don't have to do the Rose thing where it's like you have to pretend you're from America.
Oh, no, no, no. She does it so well.
Do you remember one of the first times we ever met Rose, she was living below us and she was like running sides for an audition. And living in LA, you're like, oh, everybody's an actor. And we like, it's just really depressing sometimes when you meet somebody who's a shitty actor and like we didn't know anything about her. And we're like, oh, yeah, we'll help you run these lines. We're like, oh, man, this is going to be a disaster. And she came up, and she just did this amazing American accent for, like, some crime drama.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh, you're actually good.
I was crying.
Well, yeah, want to feel good about yourself? Never fucking put Rose on tape. I do it in Vancouver. I seem to read with her a lot for some reason. We tend to just do her tapes. And she just crushes every single one and just makes you feel so... talentless.
Well, she's like a real actor.
Oh, yeah,
that's
she's
the difference.
Legit.
Yeah,
her first role, she was on piano when she was a baby,
right?
Or yeah. Something like that. It's
we're
crazy.
Just like comedy people. Like Jake and I, like, all right, let's. I hope I can memorize the words right. Isn't that what it is to be an actor? You say the words right.
Us is it's memorizing the words and saying them funny.
For Rose, like, okay, that's the beginning, and now who's my character, and how do I like
translate that to the screen? How would my character react to this?
Yeah, and then
just,
also,
I just think if you furrow your brows when someone speaks,
oh, that's good.
That's it just looks like you're really thinking about what's going on.
I got. Do you remember the guy Matt Walton? Right, he's the guy that played our boss in the Jake Muir Fired thing.
Uh-huh.
He was saying he gave me a really quick acting lesson because this was the first time I was acting in anything that wasn't like a 2-minute internet sketch.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, imagine you're being chased by a bear. Like, how are you acting? And I was like, I'm running. I'm screaming. I'm scared. He's like, or he said you're locked in a room with a bear, right? I'm like, I'd be afraid. I'm cowering. I'm afraid of a bear. And he's like, no, you're looking for the way out. You have to be like, you're concentrated. You're thinking, like, how do I get away?
Oh,
like, oh, I didn't think about like my character's motivation of being like, get me out of the room with the bear. All I was thinking is like, my character in this moment is like,
I'm screaming. My hands are in the air and I don't know what to do.
And action. And I get mauled by a bear.
That was an awesome commercial, by the way. When you get fucking destroyed by a bear.
Yeah, yeah. That's acting.
All right. Female name.
Oh. Regina.
Regina? That makes sense.
No and Regina.
Regina writes, hi, I'm Regina, a senior in high school. Gross, I know. So, into the story. I have a smallish circle of close friends, and this past fall, one of my longtime second-tier friends joined our group. Anyway, I've known this guy for forever and never felt sexually attracted to him ever. Actually, I found him quite gross in the past and have been concerned about his oral hygiene. He's kind of a hopeless puppy dog we took in. I've always had a soft spot for him and made sure to include him in our plans. But here's the interesting part. I had a sex dream about him a few weeks ago, and I enjoyed it. This freaked me out and has completely changed how I see him. The day after this dream, I had a hard time looking him in the eye, but I found myself staring at him. The food I usually noticed in his teeth had disappeared. So some time passed, and I slowly got over the awkward sexual feats. I basically forgot about it. Then he invites me to go to the beach with him and another friend of ours and offers to drive. And for some reason, once I get into this car, I'm a horn bag and I have an extremely hard job keeping it in my pants. I'm very glad that our other friend was there, or else I probably would have jumped him. This was over spring break, and now back at school, I don't know what to do. The weird sexual tension is back. I can't see a way we would casually mess around without my other friends finding out. I sound like such a horrible person, but I know they would judge me, and I don't know if I have enough energy to stand up for this dweeb I've been hooking up with. So please help me on this possible sexual adventure. Thanks, love. Regina.
Regina.
I love it. This question's great.
Doesn't this sound amazing, like the guy wrote it in like a fantasy land? He's like, there's this guy that I don't really like, but recently I've been kind of attracted to him.
I had dreams of him.
Yeah. And now I want to fuck him
all
a lot.
Of his unattractive
it sounds like
qualities
a dude wrote
have vanished.
Yeah. It sounds like it with the keep it in my pants. I never really hear girls say that. Yeah. Keep what? Your vagina?
This guy's like,
it does have to come out.
It does have to come out, but yeah.
You know the secret where you put something out in the world and you hope it happens? So my theory is this guy wrote this about the girl and like, yeah, what if she had a hard time wanting to fuck me? She doesn't know and she's so conflicted about it.
But then this fucker knows he has food in his teeth.
Yeah.
So he'll vanish. Like maybe he just brushed his teeth on one day. Like that's, I love sex dreams. They change everything.
They do.
They really make people that you would never be. You just get so curious.
Oh, interesting.
I think sex dreams are like maybe the key to the universe.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like my mom must have had a sex dream about my dad because otherwise, my dad is this guy.
He's a mushroom man.
My father is, yeah, he's moss.
He's a stool.
He's a shrub. My dad is, he's a shrub, and my mother is like a woodland fairy pixie, perfect woman.
She's a model.
Yeah, a mommel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
sex dreams, had them?
Oh, yeah. And it's usually for me, I'm trying not to make eye contact with my girlfriend. She's usually with my girlfriend's mom. She's got a knife.
I don't see her.
It's usually with always happen with colleagues.
Oh,
it'd be someone at work who I couldn't stand, and then we'd do some shit in my dream.
It's always somebody that you don't on the like daily have sexual fantasies about. It's somebody that like sort of is like deep inside your subconscious.
Yeah, and it's always good.
Yeah,
it's always your dream.
Because it's your dream. You could do anything you want.
And it's such a release too. I think that like I've always had the weirdest wet dreams. There was one that I can remember where this total nerd from my high school
blew me.
It was even less interesting than that. She was there.
Oh, a female nerd.
Yeah. She was like a real nerd and like I was not attracted to her, but she was there and she told me to put my dick in a fence.
Whoa.
And I put my dick in a fence and it felt so good. And then I came and it was wet. I mean,
so yeah. you didn't have a sex dream about a nerd. You had it about a fence.
Yeah.
And I still now to this day, I love porn where like some weird like femdom domination where a girl tells me what to do.
Was it like a picket wooden fence or like the gate?
It was a wooden fence that had a little hole in it. A knot. Yeah, exactly.
A little knot in the wood. Painted white or are we talking natural?
It was all natural.
Really, dude?
Yeah, barely fit in the hole.
I saw your recent porn search. It was big natural ... fences.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And that's when you took up fencing, right?
I never had a wet dream.
Never in your whole life?
Yeah, that was one of the weird... I never had one.
Start jerking off? Like, were you just...
Yeah, I think that's what it was. That prematurely.
Some people... Like, I know you had a wet dream before you started masturbating.
That's right.
I started masturbating before I had wet dreams.
Ah, but you... So you... still had one even though you were masturbating.
Yeah, because like every once in a while, if I like, I would try to do things where like I gave up masturbating for 2 weeks. There was one time
for
where
12
I was,
hours.
I was dating a girl. The worst thing in the world is when you have a wet dream sleeping next to your girlfriend, which has happened to me twice.
Wow.
And it's like, I know that I'm having a bad sex life and I have to get out of that relationship.
Was it her in your dream or is somebody else? It was a fence.
It was a fence.
Another fence. It was a fucking door.
Always cheating on my loved ones with the fence. How many wet dreams would you say you've had in your life?
Oh, tons. Literally 2,000 pounds worth. Just so Whoa. Many.
Wow. Yeah, you had to throw away a mattress that was just caked through with semen.
Like, have you ever seen that Hawaiian Punch commercial where they open a door and a guy surfs out on this wave of red? Yeah, it is overcoming. It is absolutely a tidal wave of semen.
So that's just one wet dream, but it was just empty.
It was so much.
You were flat in the morning.
See, because I was such a big fat virgin when I was growing up, and I was just so removed from the dating world. Like, I didn't have a kiss until I was like 18, 19.
Oh, wow.
So what was happening was during my sex dreams as a kid, I would get so excited that it was about to happen, I'd wake myself up. I remember that. Like, it would be that girl from school, yeah, and she'd unbutton her school shirt or whatever, and I'd be like,
last button,
and I'd literally wake up.
I've been there too. Yeah. Man, that's so sad when that happens. You get so excited.
Do you remember who your first sex dream was with? Was it an actress? Was it a person you
know? It was a girl at school.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Your first sex dream?
Yeah. And we're friends on Facebook, so I won't say her name because I'll probably post this on Facebook and then
everyone's gonna read it.
Well, she might, she, because maybe she was having sex dreams about you. Maybe
no,
you
I wouldn't have thought so. Definitely not.
Mine was with Robin Givens, who is a character on ABC's Head of the Class. She's this African-American actress. She's 51 years old now. I feel like I should
tweet her. Go tell us. I'm gonna guess
Taurus.
Oh, I was gonna say Taurus, but I'll say Sagittarius.
Her car is a Taurus, but she's actually... What's November 27th?
Sagittarius.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Hurwitz!
For the epic win.
One for one. Batting 1,000.
Did you ever have sex dreams about actresses, or was it mostly people that you knew?
My first sex dream was I was in a pool. I've never told this to anybody. This is crazy.
Maybe you shouldn't do it.
You're right. This is going to replace my virginity story.
This is too special.
My first sex dream. I was... in a pool with Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Whoa, Zach Morris was there too.
Yeah, and somebody, I want to say it was Screech, but I bet it wasn't. But it was like, you have a choice. Like, you get to have sex with either Zach or Kelly. And I, thank God I chose Kelly.
That was the fucking difference, dude.
But like in a dream, you really never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like you don't know yourself in a dream. And even like also, what if I had chose Tiffany and they're like, all right, well, it's opposite day and now you're getting fucked by Zach.
It was worth it just for the opportunity, sir.
But then I had sex with Tiffany Amber Thiessen in this dream. It was the best. I think to this day is the best sex I've ever had next to the fence.
Yeah. Number one, fence. Number two, Kelly Kapowski. What was this girl's actual question? I don't know if we answered it. Should she go for
it? She's trying to keep it in her pants.
Yeah.
It sounds like she just is developing a crush on this guy, and that's fine, and that's okay, and she should see it through.
I think she should kiss him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, because the problem
is... That could crush the whole dream, or it could make her feel like, actually, the next levels would probably... I'd be comfortable.
Right. It's fine to fall for somebody, and it's all, like... She's worried that other people are going to think other people might not share her opinion of the dude.
We're all that kid. That's where we're like, go for it. Kiss him. This could be your opportunity, please. For the love of God.
Through, yeah.
Kiss this 15-year-old nerd.
But, and also like, you know, he enjoys eating from the sound of it.
Yeah.
You know, this could be a benefit. She could have a lot of fun.
He might go down on her.
Yeah.
And then your pussy will be
in his fucking teeth.
She's in high school. And high school... Thinking what other people are going to think ruined so many potentially good relationships for
me.
Like, I broke up with a girlfriend that I liked because I heard a bunch of rumors that she might dump me. And there was, when I was a sophomore, I was like hooking up with a freshman who I really had a crush on. And like somebody else who was a sophomore was like, I can't believe you're hooking up with a freshman. I was like, well, I'm not anymore. And it's like, just do what you like to do and not what everybody else is going to think, because it's going to feel good for you. It's something that you want.
But in high school, what other people think is everything.
Public opinion.
Oh, definitely. I one of my biggest regrets at high school was I wasn't popular. I was known. Me and my group of friends were known, but we weren't popular. We were that
in
between.
What were you known for?
just being dickheads.
You guys were, but just we, like, you were like, sort of like the class clowns.
Yeah, like class clowns. And like, but we were, so we, people knew who we were, but we weren't popular. So it wasn't right. for good reason. And I remember
you,
that.
You were there for like comic relief. And not yeah. for like, you, no, nobody wanted you hanging out all the time. No. And nobody wanted to hook up with you or
exactly.
date you.
But we were still known. But I didn't take drama at school. Even though I felt I could do it, I never took it because I was people made fun of taking drama. And it could have been my way in to everything.
Yeah.
To unlock everything at high school. If I had done it there, I would have shined.
It would have been.
I was good at acting.
You would have been that person that other people would have been intimidated to get on tape with instead of just Rose.
With my American accent.
Well, you're still obviously good at acting because you booked on tape.
Once. That's it.
That's all it takes. It again. Just got to do it once. Yeah. In this business, baby. All right, go for it.
Go
what
for
else
it.
Do I say? That's it. I think we're out of time. How was that for you?
It was everything.
This is your first podcast? Have you done podcasts before?
I've done podcasts before, yeah. Only recently, actually. I haven't done... Usually, they were gaming-based.
Oh, are you a gamer?
Massively, yeah.
Oh, really?
So we always... It's 2 hours of me talking about video games, but I haven't... This
wow,
is
what's your game?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I haven't played anything since I left Vancouver, but I was playing like Metal Gear Solid, and I'll play sport. I'll play everything.
Wow.
I literally will play everything.
What's your system of choice? Do you have a system?
PlayStation 4.
PlayStation 4. Got it.
It's the one.
What video game do you think you've played more than any video game in the world? Like, you spent the most of your life playing.
The one I can remember off the top of my head was a game called Red Dead Redemption, which was set in the Wild West. It's Grand Theft Auto in the Wild West.
Yeah.
You'll love
that. Oh, that's cool.
Because you like your Grand Theft.
Yeah. But, and I love Deadwood.
Same. Oh my God, we could have talked about Deadwood this whole episode.
I'll start a Deadwood podcast.
Let me stop and then we'll re-record. Only about Deadwood.
Podcast, actually.
But I played that. So, and then my buddy was a big fan. We grew up watching Westerns and Deadwood and stuff. So we went online, and all you would do online is like pick flowers and hunt.
It's like Oregon Trail.
We were doing 8 hours a night, like just picking flowers. This cactus we had to collect, and we had to kill this bear or skin these rabbits.
Wow.
And that's it. And we did that for like 60 hours.
Damn.
Yeah.
I want to get into gaming. I feel like I'd like it.
I think you'd love it.
I'm going to try.
Yeah, you do need a hobby.
Yeah.
One that's as useful as gaming, I think, is a good one to pick up.
Sweet.
All right. If you have your own questions or your own theme song, the opening one was written by David is awesome. This closing one is written by Ethan Uhrborg. The email for everything is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Raul, do you have anything to plug before you go?
Where can people find you?
Oh, just at RaulColey13 on Twitter and every sort of app and Snapchats. And
13. Always 13?
Just November always 13. 13? Just because November. There you go.
All right.
And Taylor Swift. Apparently that's her one as well.
Oh, really? That.
Really? 13?
No Taylor big deal.
Swift, yeah, hers is just Taylor Swift 13. I always say it's because of that.
Because she stole it from you.
Yeah. we got beef, man.
We'll be back next week. Unfortunately, without Raul, but we'll have you back soon enough.
Definitely.
People are going to love this pleasure. Shit, too.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming. See you guys soon.
Everything that I needed, now that I got up on the podcast. Everything you won't say, you email. And Amir don't like that shit at all, so retweet him. So can they get a show on TV? Or did they have a show already? Wait a minute, if I were you, I would tell you to make a billboard, make a Tinder. I'm wearing me undies, but I stopped getting nature by, so that's a problem. Cause I'm way too broke to pay, but I didn't eat yet today, no. These two dudes saying if I were you, got real better hope that I won't sue. Last one didn't end like a shit of Jake on blast, and he still won't get fake. Get my Lana back on, for God's sake. I'm in another place waiting for the other space. Swipe right for the 10-cent piece, kids, right? But we can get Ben Schwartz if you want to have at it. We can get Team Mids up in Silicon Valley. Everybody's got a show when you're big and you're ready. 8 episodes left and you want more money. 8 episodes left. Jake and Amir, if I were here, if I were you, if that were true. It's not true.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.